You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Project Runway. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Project Runway news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Project Runway!
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Project Runway After Show. I am Candon Bliss, and I'm here with... Why, thanks!
Very much deserved.
And I'm here with Miss Stephanie Wenger tonight.
Ooh, I'm glad to be here.
She better get the same applause, Ronnie. There we go.
Somewhat of a
thank
pity.
You for that.
Yeah, a little bit of a pity applause, but I'll take
He's running slow tonight. It's okay. Well, welcome, everybody. We are season 10? Episode 10. Are we episode 10 already?
I don't.
Maybe I'm confused.
I think
it is. Let me break that down. It's season one of the All Stars,
right.
As you and I have talked about,
because mm-hmm.
I love the show that much. No, it's so basically it's titled as season one for the All Stars,
right.
And then it's episode number 7.
Okay,
so
well
that's
Phil
the breakdown.
Screwed it up.
Oh, don't blame nobody.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, because I did.
Maybe it's season 10 of Project Runway.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight's episode is putting on the glitz, and they went to the lovely Broadway.
I was so excited for this.
Super excited too. I didn't get all Broadway'd out. We should have put on like a musical production.
I know, really gone big with it in studio.
gone over the top with it. But anyway, it was cool. They went to, a play that I'd really never heard about, Godspell, which is back for its 40th anniversary on Broadway. And it's about Jesus and the Apostles, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't think that they would kind of give attention to something so specific as far as some kind of beliefs, you know?
Absolutely. I thought it was interesting because it was such a different challenge for Project Runway. It's something that we haven't seen them do before. Everybody's seen those street challenges and that type of thing. So to see them hit Broadway was very different and cool.
And the winner of this week's challenge gets their design featured in the show. And the bio in the playbill.
Yeah, in the playbill.
Which is pretty cool.
And all the contestants seemed very excited about that.
They were super excited. I kind of got confused, though, at the beginning of the challenge because they were trying to describe the character who was that they were designing for, which was a rich material girl. And they had to design separates because they're going to put it on her on stage.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So she will be on stage, I'm assuming, in a different outfit, and then quickly adds...
Well, it's like they start talking about the thrift... Here's what I got confused about. So, because Kenley went all, like, thrift store, and everybody was like, flea market, fabulous. And I was like, what? Where did we get from rich material girl who steals money and is wealthy and flaunts her wealthiness to thrift store fabulous?
Yeah, because when I think thrift store, I think like finding the steals, not...
Right, and like vintagey kind of like...
Right.
Not necessarily the luxurious items, but more of the, you know, hippie thrift store garb.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I did hear them saying that the people on the street in the play were going to be putting the clothes on her, and I don't know if they were supposed to be getting the clothes from a thrift store. I don't know.
I didn't
understand where that came from at all.
No, I was a little confused myself, but I did understand that the basic challenge was to make this girl look wealthy, fabulous, you know, Fifth Avenue ready.
Right. Not necessarily East Village.
Not East Village.
Which is what Kenley got all into.
Exactly.
I didn't understand at all.
And so they had $200 just to complete the challenge in one day. So
I thought it was neat that they got to sketch, like Austin said, in the theater, you know, kind of absorb. It wasn't a very big theater, kind of more of an intimate setting, it seems like. But they did get to really absorb what it would be like to be watching the play and kind of or the musical and just kind of visualize what their design would look like on that stage. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And they seemed really inspired by it and then took it back to the workroom.
I think it was different. I think a lot of the designers seemed really excited about this challenge. And a few designers, like Kara, were struggling with it a little bit. And Mondo actually seemed to be struggling with it a little bit. And that's where we kind of get into the workroom stress this week. There seemed it's been building up every week, I think. And now it's getting kind of crunch time. I think they're down to seven, now six after tonight. And I think the stress is really starting to get to some of them, being away from home, being sequestered away from everything, you know, and only getting to see those people. I mean, they're probably sick of each other by now, right?
Absolutely. And that seemed like there's cliques within the workroom for sure. We saw that especially with...
Oh, yeah.
Kinley and Kara.
Kara, again, that's been happening for quite a few weeks now, but it seemed like tonight it was over-the-top camaraderie, and Mila was not happy about it. They were dancing with the fabric and, you know, overly complimenting each other's designs. And
exactly. They seem to have kind of a middle school-ish friendship. I don't know. It's like playing around in the workroom when everyone else is
working.
Super stressed about their designs.
I don't feel like that helped them very much, either one of them tonight, because they were giving each other very high compliments, and I don't think that either of them were quite deserving of those compliments. So I don't think that it helped them to be, not that they were lying to each other, but you know, when you get caught up, whatever your best friend does, you think is fabulous.
Exactly.
You know,
it's like it's also just being a good friend. You're
right.
Like, oh, it's, you know,
trying to encourage and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Which led to someone's demise tonight. So then Austin was having a little, good inspiration, I thought, with the whole Marie Antoinette thing. I loved that. I did think it was interesting when Joanna came in. She said, based on his materials that he had, she's like, so right now it looks hideous, but you're going to make it fabulous, right? And he's like,
of course.
Sure.
Yes,
of course. I was like, right now it's hideous. Okay, well. Yeah. And I was hoping that Austin would come out with something fabulous because, like I said, every week I've been disappointed with him. And I'm glad that he went with this Marie Antoinette-inspired theme because that's something that I really love and I think is very rich and the epitome of richness, really.
I also thought he was one of the few to truly embrace the challenge.
Absolutely.
He got that Broadway's all about the sparkle and having a big statement, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what his look was.
Right. And he really embodies the character. You know, I think some of them really didn't understand the woman that they were designing for, and the judges ended up in the end saying that a few of the designers, they really said, I think it was Mondo, he's like, he knows his woman, mm-hmm. you know, and that was really cool to see. Like I said, Cara didn't get very good feedback from Joanna. Mondo was really stressed out again this week. Is that like a recurring theme? He always seems to be, he'll get like this idea in his head and he's so excited about it, then he goes to mood, and then he comes back, and then he's really devastated for a couple hours, and he just doesn't think it's going to work, and he just doesn't understand what he's doing. He's like, I'm not feeling it. I'm over it.
He also seemed deeply affected by last week's challenge. Most the contestants you see on this show, or the successful ones at least, move on from challenge to challenge. Mm-hmm. Whether they were good or bad in the last challenge, they've moved on. It's a new week,
right.
And they understand that.
Clean slate.
Exactly. And he doesn't seem to understand that. He was still like, oh, the judges last week, they said this about me. And he kind of lost his vision there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see that he was able to pull something off.
So. Well, I think he was deeply affected more so just because, like, if it had just been another challenge, I think he might have taken it differently. But because it was his mom's birthday and
right.
it was supposed to be this reincarnation of her and him going to her party, it was just a very personal design for him. And for them to tear it down last week must have hit him pretty hard.
Of course. And I think I would definitely be affected by mm-hmm. it too. And I mean, those kinds of things do hurt. I completely.
But you know, he came back with a vengeance. Well, maybe not in his attitude, but with his design, he came back with a vengeance
and took
the cake. So
yeah, exactly.
And what was going on with the sewing machines, please?
I don't know. I think that there would be an ability to keep those working and functioning at like everybody needs them, obviously.
They were playing like musical sewing machines, and Austin was so not happy about it.
Oh yeah, Austin was the one who was freaking out. He kind of took the drama of the stage and definitely brought it to the workroom, if you will, this week.
So they had a guest judge named Sutton Foster, who was the star of Anything Goes on Broadway, and she was super cute.
Yeah.
And I loved what she had on tonight. I thought that maybe her opinion, you know, she's the star of a Broadway show. She knows what it's like to be costumed for a show.
Right.
So she should, you know how it feels to look at a costume and try to envision her character. So I thought it was a good choice. I kind of maybe would have liked to see someone from Godspell. Whether it's the costume designer now or someone who's worked in costuming for the show, or even if it's like a stage manager or somebody that works on the show and knows the vision of the musical and could have kind of brought that.
I was surprised that that actually didn't happen.
Yeah, because we were introduced to the composer, Schwartz. What was his name?
Stephen Schwartz.
Stephen Schwartz, the composer for Godspell. Yeah, I was surprised that we didn't have someone from the musical judging.
Especially maybe the director would have been a great choice.
Right.
Like that.
Someone who really knows the vision. Because that's the one thing that I couldn't really understand this whole episode really was. Okay, maybe I just need to research the musical more, but when you say it's a rock musical about Jesus and his apostles, so it's a kind of a historical story with a modern twist, but I didn't understand, okay, what kind of character, you know, we know it's a rich woman, she's a material girl, but is she a modern material girl? Is she a, you know, an antique material girl or something?
Right.
You know, I didn't know what the style really was about. And I don't think any of the designers really knew either. Like, what does the rest of the costumes look like? What is the, you know, how's it going to mesh with everybody else, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, I felt like I, as a designer, would want to go see the show to, like, get that sense. I mean, sitting in the theater is great, but once the lights go up, I imagine it would be a completely different.
Well, because based on everybody's designs as they came down the runway, and we're about to get into the runway show, but as each one was coming down, I was like, okay, I could see that being a rich woman, but in certain contexts. You know, like Cara's outfit was very more matronly chic, you know, and it looked like more of a highfalutin, you know, society woman, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you had Mondo, kind of the tribal look. I just felt like they could all have worked, but there wasn't really a set vision for what direction they should be going in.
Exactly. It was their own kind of what wealth was or is to them, essentially. So they all had their own take on it, which made it more interesting in some senses.
Right.
But it also was confusing because you want something that fits the show and fits that specific character.
Right. Now, that's something that I battled the whole episode. I'm like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can go right into the runway. It's funny, the shows have gone by quick. I think they cut it from an hour and a half to an hour. In the last 2 weeks. So I feel like everything's shorter. We're shorter, they're shorter, but I mean it's good. It's keeping the pace better, I think.
Exactly.
Do you agree?
Yeah, and we talked about earlier on in the season that the shows were dragging a little
bit. They were.
And I feel like now that I want more.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a better way to leave it than being like, oh, I'm so glad that this show has.
I think that was a super smart move on Lifetime's part because it definitely keeps you on your toes. Like we were saying, oh my gosh, we're already at the runway. Like we wanted more, like you said. And that's what we should as an audience want. We should want more. So I think as a trial run, this Project Runway All-Stars, it started off rocky, at least for me. Now I think it's getting into a groove. I'm starting to see a little bit more from the designers, at least a little bit more of a complete vision. Like they're finishing their designs at least.
Exactly. And I'm seeing some of them actually start to have a specific look and feel, and you get a sense of what their line could be, and that's pretty exciting.
Right. I think I guess I feel you on that one. I'm still kind of all over the place with figuring out, okay, if you were to have a line in Neiman Marcus, what would it be?
Yeah, and I mean, there are certain designers that you just wonder, like, what would it be? It feels like it could go a million different directions, and then
well, the challenges are so all over the place, too.
Yeah.
They're kind of you know, they got the Miss Piggy and the Broadway and the evening gown and the, you know, people off the street. I mean, it's all over the place. So it is hard, I think, for them to find a consistent look to go with and run with, and they want to get out of the box. So, I mean, I get it. I want to see the personality of the designer come out. And even though I haven't liked Austin this whole time, I am seeing his trends.
And the same with Ken Lee. I feel like I mean, she's the obvious one that I think all along has had the vision. But whether you like her or not, it's pretty clear what mm-hmm. her vision is. And she likes that vintage-inspired look. And and it's kind of interesting because there's not a lot of people out there that are doing that. So
right. I agree.
It'll be interesting to see how she does in the end, for sure.
So let's get into the runway show. I know we paused it again. We tried to pause when they got on the runway so we could, like, okay, analyze the look.
Right.
Exactly. They go too fast sometimes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they'll be like, all the details.
Yeah, we want to write down all the details. So Michael was first, and I wrote green Chiquita Banana Woman. And, you know, it's one of the judges did mention that it looked like a Chiquita Banana Woman, but it wasn't a bad Chiquita Banana Woman.
No.
It wasn't like Rami's Chiquita Banana Polka Dot.
I wasn't sure it fit the challenge necessarily,
right.
But I really did like his look, and mm-hmm. I felt like it was a classy look, mm-hmm. and just wasn't sure that it was exactly that, like, showed her wealth.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Way. I agree. I mean, the Fascinator was cool. It was hip. It was a nice color. The color popped. It was mm-hmm. a good silhouette. Like you said, though, I don't know if it fit the challenge. I can't really see it in a modern rock show or a historic musical.
Yeah. And I love the color. The lime was great. It worked really well. So
yeah, I liked it. It was good. And then Kenley came out, and, you know, I was really excited at the beginning of the show because she had that gorgeous red brocade. She was making this super cute coat, and then she pulls out these gross white feathers. I'm like, what are you doing?
It definitely was not my favorite look of hers.
No.
And I liked the two patterns separately, and I think even one of the judges talked about this, but together, those patterns just, it wasn't the best. It didn't.
I'm not into pattern on pattern for the most part, unless it's more muted. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it was like this turquoise. The turquoise and the red would have been nice. Like, if she'd done a solid turquoise color on the bottom, that would have been interesting. But the red brocade was so rich looking, and the cut of the coat was beautiful. But to add the feathers and then that different multicolored, youthful looking pattern, it just was confusing, and it made it look gaudy.
I think for this challenge, I would have preferred to see maybe a slim pants mm-hmm. or something like that mm-hmm. with that gorgeous and well-cut jacket.
Yeah, yeah, they all commented on how well the jacket was cut, but she kept talking about the thrift stuff, and it was all about the I mean, we know she's a vintage girl, but she's like, oh, it's from the East Village, and then she had, like, these black shoes with it, and it did look very thrift store put together, and it wasn't the challenge at all.
Exactly. And I wanted to like it exactly same as you. When I saw what her vision mm-hmm. sounded great, and it just didn't come together.
Just didn't come together. Which she was in the bottom few, so.
Yeah.
Austin, here we go. Okay, this is something I want to talk about because I am super happy with Austin this week. Yeah. I was thrilled to hear his idea, and I was like, if you screw this Marie Antoinette thing up, I'm gonna just kill you. Like,
come on.
Like, I've been trying to like him this whole time. And I finally did. I'm not so keen on the leggings that he paired with his outfit because I think it cheapened it. Mm-hmm. But the hat thing off to the side and the kind of, like, it was almost like speakeasy. You know, it was like a cross between Marie Antoinette and, like, 1920s speakeasy with the kind of loose fur, almost like a loose woman, you know? And she is kind of a loose woman. She steals from people, and she's kind of evil, but she, like, thinks she's cool. And it kind of brought to life this bitchy character.
Yeah, I liked it, too, and I liked his color selection mm-hmm. as well. I thought that he sometimes goes a little odd, and you're like, oh, that could have been good, but something's a little off in the look. And he really did pull off a really nice looking thing, and something that
wearable, very wearable,
and I feel like very New York fashion, and mm-hmm. it fit with what was going on in the challenge.
Do you think it fit the musical?
You know, it's hard for me to know because I haven't seen Godspell.
Right, that's what we keep saying.
But I, from the description at the beginning of the show, I felt like he was one of the contestants that got it closest.
Yeah, I agree. Because it was a very versatile, rich look.
Mm-hmm.
Could be modern, could be historical. He kind of tied it all together.
And I felt with like a few alterations, you could go a lot of all those directions with it, for sure.
Jarrell came out, and you know what? All I put was Gorge, and we didn't really even get to see his design because they let him leave the runway first. Yeah. His was, I think, the most solid outfit. It was kind of this more matronly-looking jacket with a lot of design on the chest area, and then kind of a pleated skirt, very mature looking. There was like this interesting hair. It wasn't flashy, and it didn't say Broadway to me, but it did say wealthy and classy.
Yeah, and he was actually the person that I starred as my
favorite
winner for the week. I just felt like when I looked at his look, the description at the beginning of the show really matched perfectly for me.
Because he chose like darker colors, and it could have been. I don't know that it really said bitchy material woman, but it could, you know?
It could. And it also, I think it was like a silvery jacket.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like you don't see everyone walking down the street in that.
Right.
That's a definitely be noticed.
Yeah, like he said, the jacket was a piece of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did good. I liked it. No complaints.
Yeah.
Kara.
Oh. I wanted to like this look. This was one that I thought, oh, the red skirt, it's something different. It's cool. And it just, another one that it just didn't work.
But like, everybody said, oh, you've really pushed yourself. I don't see that. I don't see her pushing herself on this one. It was a red skirt and a navy patterned shirt that you can buy anywhere today. Yeah, she threw on a mink or whatever stole thing and put a big silver bow on it, but I didn't feel pushing the boundaries, pushing the limits.
I felt like for her maybe it was, but as Isaac was saying, it still was one of his least favorite.
Right. Yeah, what did he told her on the runway that it was her best challenge to date. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
So he
yikes. That was kind of not a good compliment.
No, exactly. He was like, I don't really like it, but it's your best one ever. And you're like, oh,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's a wearable look, at least the under part, the red and the navy. Looks like something I would see in the Hamptons or, you know, in New York, whatever.
Right.
But not Broadway.
Yeah.
And then it was navy and black. It just didn't work for me. Then we get to Mondo, who came out, his model came out looking like she rocked the Lion King or something, like very tribal. And he was saying like her dad's smoking jacket.
Yeah, that was the inspiration, I guess, was like a smoking jacket. And
I so didn't get that.
I didn't get that from the look in the end. I kind of felt like before he was having all this trouble in the workroom. Mm-hmm. And when he first did it, I was like, oh, I kind of see a smoking jacket. And then I think maybe we didn't see it, but it was definitely a revised look by the time it got to the runway. And it looked really cool on the
runway.
Well,
he had like the printed fringe on the sleeves and kind of this interesting trimming on the jacket. It was a lot of patterns, but they all worked. And that's where, you know, Kenley's patterns together didn't work, but Mondo's totally did.
Absolutely. And I also felt like he really wanted to show this different thing, that he could do something that maybe wasn't expected from him, and that wasn't so covered by the judges, but I felt like he really did come out and come back from last week in a big way.
Well, and I was scared when the judge asked to see the dress, because, you know, every time that they've made the designer open the jacket, or like last week with Rami, it's almost like they're not expecting you to ask them to take the jacket off, so they kind of skimp on the dress or the shirt or something. And thankfully Mondo's dress was flawless. I mean, they did say it was a little short or something, the length was off.
I think that's hard given the time constraints, though, to get it perfectly fit to your model and things like that. So I really like the dress.
But she had on flat shoes, so the length didn't bother me too much because I'm tall and everything is always too short for me. But if I was wearing flats, I feel like it wouldn't matter as much. I mean, if she'd been in heels, it'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, she's like at her mid-calf or whatever. But so interesting, the patterns at the bottom of the dress. Like, I didn't notice it when she's walking down the runway. I didn't notice what the patterns actually were. But underneath that orangey fabric, there was like this silvery gray and like pink. Yeah. And it almost had like hearts on it. But it so didn't come across that way, you know?
Yeah, he did a great job selecting fabric. Because sometimes you see at the beginning of a challenge, from the fabric selection, you know that the person's going in a weird mm-hmm. or not so great direction.
Right.
And he really, you could tell from the beginning that it was going to be something cool, even if he was having trouble.
Yeah, which is so funny. I mean, you know, I'll spoil it now, but most everybody's watched, but Mondo won the challenge.
Yeah.
So he was the most stressed out, other than Kara, who consequently went home.
Yeah.
They were the most stressed of the entire week. And I knew that he, because it always happens. Mondo's always stressed out, and then he comes up with something that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, this week he comes out with something. I mean, when it walked down the runway, I was like, oh, that's what you were doing. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He so didn't lead you to believe that he was going to come up with something fabulous, but I'm glad that he did.
He always has a little magic up his sleeve,
yes.
For sure.
So then Mila came out afterwards, and I just said, gross, druggy.
Yeah, it was my absolute least favorite look of the night.
Me too.
She wanted a sense of humor in the look, is what she talked about, and I'm not sure that this was the appropriate challenge to do that with, nor did I feel like the look was funny. I'm not sure what that means in terms
of... If Pretty Woman is funny, which it is, which that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like Pretty Woman, you know, Julia Roberts before she...
Became pretty.
Yeah. It became not a prostitute. I mean, it did look... I mean, the judge did say that it kind of looked like a street girl, woman of the streets. And once he said that, I was like, you know what? It does.
It does, absolutely.
The skirt was the tackiest print I've ever seen in my life. Like, the top, I could deal with. If she'd done something classy on the bottom and just stuck to the look, I think she could have been okay. But that weird green and yellow, who puts that with fur and gold? Like, ugh.
Yeah, and she also just went a little nuts with the accessories, too.
Yeah. She was like, let me just throw up gold on you because this woman's rich. I was like, that doesn't really...
No.
Like, sometimes it just looks gaudy when that happens, honey.
Yeah. Like, there's another way to show that without just going nuts on the accessory wall.
Yeah. Explosion of gold.
Yeah.
So, was that it? Oh, my gosh. That's it.
Can't believe that. That's so crazy.
So crazy. My, you know, I loved Mondo's. Like I said, I thought Isaac was too nice to Mila. And it was the first time that I've liked Austin's dress, minus the leggings. Those were my last notes over here.
Exactly.
My slow scribbles.
Yeah. I just felt like we saw some people do some great looks tonight, mm-hmm. and then some people who just couldn't embrace the challenge.
I do feel like they're stepping up their game, at least for the most part. At least I think the pressure's on. You know, I mean, they're slowly starting to kind of freak out, maybe, mm-hmm. because it's getting down to the wire, and there's only six of them left now. I hope that it's starting to become a competition, because we've mentioned this before, that it doesn't feel like a competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of hanging out, like, presenting their stuff and whatever.
I know we've talked about that this is All-Stars, and we expect them to show mm-hmm. a lot of great pieces, and we haven't seen that. And so I'm hoping that now that I believe there's six people
mm-hmm.
left,
yep.
That we'll see those amazing pieces come out that we've seen in past seasons mm-hmm. of Project Runway that are pretty much, I think, a lot of the reason why some people watch.
Right. I mean, I want to see timeless pieces like what Austin created tonight mm-hmm. and what Mondo created tonight. I want to see that from everybody from now on.
Yeah.
And I think everybody wants that. I think we all want to have a reason to want to see this show and to want more from it, you know, and to want it to be an hour and a half instead of just an hour.
Exactly. And I think that there are big prizes at stake here.
Super big. I mean, they get their line in Neiman Marcus. They get an entire sewing room from Brother, guest editor of Marie Claire magazine, and a spread in Marie Claire magazine, and $100,000 in cash from L'Oreal Paris. Like,
and I think
that's not something to laugh at.
No, it's not something to laugh at, and it's not something that to like joke around the workroom mm-hmm. about. I think that what I want to see next week and in these coming challenges is a clear vision of a line that you can have in Neiman Marcus and who you are as a designer. And as I said, a few of them are coming out that way. And whether you like it or not, I think it's important to show that. And that's the point of Project Runway. It really is.
Amen, sister. All right, guys, we're going to go to a commercial real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about what's going to happen next week.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. All right. So we saw a very brief look into what's going to happen next week.
Absolutely. It seems short.
We didn't really get a good sense of what's going to happen. We do know that they're going to go to the United Nations.
Yeah. And it looks like the judges are getting a little upset with some of the looks. There were definitely some.
Which is disturbing.
Yeah. Because we were just talking about, we really do want to see them come out with these strong looks. And they were getting some rather harsh comments from the judges.
Yeah. So at the UN, I'm thinking they're going to kind of go global, go international, do something with culture.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that challenge, too. I think it's going to be really different than the Broadway challenge.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope that they're doing something wearable, something show-stopping in a good way.
Exactly. I'm really excited to see how it relates to the United Nations and and just kind of, experience that next week.
All right. Well, so who do you think's going to go home next week, Stephanie?
Ooh, it's such a tough call. But I don't know. With this kind of challenge, it could be Austin. I know we were saying he's just getting his stride. But it seems like he could have a hard time with it. But it's really hard to know.
I'm pushing for Mila at this point because I just don't see it.
Well, this week, as I said, she was my least favorite.
She was my total least favorite this week. And just the fact that she would ever allow that to walk down the runway kind of makes me disturbed.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely another choice. I was debating those two when I when I was saying that. And it feels like with this kind of challenge, though, you could see an interesting front runner, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think I can see Mondo and Jarrell, because they have done that kind of tribal thing and they know maybe how to incorporate culture. Now, maybe they don't know how to incorporate somebody else's culture that's different than theirs, but maybe they can. You know, Kenley's kind of over the top. Maybe she can play with it a little bit, but she may have a hard time because she's so keyed into her look.
Yeah, and I think Michael could be a really interesting person. He's had
Forgot about Michael tonight.
I know.
Earlier, we were like, we only had six people written down. We're like, who's left?
I know. Michael. He kind of wasn't as featured in the episode. I felt
no, he
like.
Wasn't. We didn't even see his design until it came out on the runway.
Exactly. So I'm excited to see him come back strong and see if he can pull off another great look, because I felt like earlier in the season, he was definitely a person I was choosing as a front runner. So it'll be exciting to see in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, he needs to step it up. They all do.
Exactly. Keep it interesting.
Keep it interesting. Well, guys, next week we are going to have a lot more news and gossip for you. Be sure to follow us at AfterBuzz TV and me at Candon Bliss.
And me at Stephanie Wenger.
Awesome, guys. Well, we will see you next week, and hopefully these designers will step up a little bit.
Exactly.
Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.